Good morning. It's good to be back. And thank you for the privilege of opening God's Word with you. I speak to God's people today. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to thank Pastor Jennings publicly for opening his pulpit these four Sundays. They're going to go by quick for me. This week will go by quick. It's finals, graduation Friday night, and next week I have summer school all day for 5 days, which I enjoy. I don't know how much the students like it, getting one class all day, but I have several students. Minor prophets I'm teaching. I love to teach the minor prophets. Hebrews chapter 12, I've entitled the message, The Divine Design of Discipline. The Divine Design of Discipline. I'm going to read one verse and we'll pray. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 11. Verse 6. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Heavenly Father, and I call upon you, Father, as Father. And I stand before your children. And Lord, we as your sons and daughters must receive this exhortation today. We want to stop and tell you ahead of time how much we love you and that you loved us first. Teach us, Lord, today. Chasten us. Remind us that we, no matter how old we are, must learn from your hand today. Bless your people. And Father, if there is a soul, a lost soul who came into this building today, I know it's the prayer and the heartbeat of this dear church that they would come to know you, Father, through Jesus Christ. Save them today. And all God's people said. You know, it's our tendency as God's children to forget this wonderful passage. In fact, that's what the writer says in verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation. The word exhortation means good news. A cheering, supporting. And the writer wanted to remind God's people that being under the hand of our Father, there are certain things we very quickly forget. Now, I want to point out before I get into the message, and I have 3 points. I don't have a poem. Some days I have a poem. Some days I have funny stories. I might include a few because I grew up under a very strict mother. I called her my strict German mother, but I thank God for my mom. If it weren't for my mom, humanly speaking, I wouldn't be here today. Dad was a Navy man, gone sea duty 3 months at a time, and my mom raised 4 of us, and every night, except Sunday night, she'd always gather us, pray, sing. I learned a lot when I remember the early days singing scripture. But I thank God. But boy, was she strict. I used to think, how many spankings can one boy get every day? And I was the oldest. And so by the time she had my younger brother, who's 11 years younger, I always used to tell him, you're spoiled rotten. And he'd look at me and say, no, you wore mom out. There's some real truth to that. But it's through my mom and my dad that I began to learn as a little boy what it must be like to have a loving father. The word chastening, and I wish you'd remember this for the rest of the message. In verse 7, the word chastening, often I hear preachers, when they preach about this, they'll say, now chastening means to spank. Actually, the word chastening does not mean to spank. The word for spanking is used in that verse. The word scourge. You see that word scourge? Scourgeth in verse 7? Now that word means to whip, or down south, to whoop. I'd like to point out, just by introduction, that the word chasten or chasteneth is used 7 times. The word scourge is used once. You know, it seems that God is not fond of taking out a heavenly belt or a heavenly paddle. Most of the time when he disciples us or disciplines us, same word,
He chastens us.
The word chastening literally means educating the child, correcting, instruction, disciplining a child. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been saved, we are never too old as God's sons and daughters to be chastened. I'll prove it to you today. Our reaction to our Heavenly Father when He's trying to teach us something will never be right if our view of what's happening to us at that moment is not right. The spiritual problem, according to this passage, is not that we take our problems too lightly, but the Lord's training through them too lightly. We're prone, as God's children, to take our problems very seriously. But we often miss the precious training God is trying to teach us. So number one, notice with me the problems of our Father's chastening. The problems of our Father's chastening. He mentions two. Every man and woman, no matter how young or how old, boy, the older I get, the more I think about almost 60 years of being saved, I don't ever want to forget this passage. And you may be older than Brother Spencer today. You'd have to be really old. When you teach college students, you get older every year. In fact, you know how it is when the freshmen come with their parents. I don't say, wow, the freshmen every year get younger. No, I keep saying their parents are getting younger. I don't care, saint, listen to me. You can be old and you've been saved a long time. You can be a young person and saved not much time. But here's the way we act when God's beginning to teach us something. He says back in verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The writer quotes Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. But, and by the way, the word despise means to neglect, to regard lightly, to make light of, to ignore. That's the first problem. See, when God takes our life and something's happening in our life, we are so prone to focus on that problem. And it's not wrong to focus on your problems, but we as God's children very quickly ignore God, what He's trying to show us, what He's trying to teach us. And I promise you, being saved, God is vested in your life. He owns you. We're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And there's nothing that happens on a day by day or minute by minute that our Father doesn't know. He knows beforehand. Listen, we focus so much sometimes in our problems, we forget to say, now, Lord, what is it that's happening? And what is it you're trying to teach me? We tend to, number one, despise it. We just don't even consider that we have a Father in heaven that at that moment is right there with, in fact, He's inside of us. And He's saying, listen, son, listen, daughter, we're going to get through this. And here's some things I'm trying to show you. Well, the other problem is mentioned at the end of the verse. If we don't despise, and everyone in this room fits in one of those two categories. When we're going through times of teaching, times of problems, God says some of you despise, but the rest of you tend to faint. The word faint means to be weary, to lose courage, to be enfeebled, to quit. You know, believers can quit. You've quit. Now, not for life, just you gave up. And here God was saying, son, daughter, don't just faint. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you I'm strong for you. I'll get you through this. There's something in your personality I've been trying to work on. There's a way you've been reacting to your husband that I'm trying to show you. I got to tell you guys, God, our Father, must be very patient because He just says, now listen, you tend to have one of two issues. When I come into your life and your problem, you either ignore it or just slough it off, or you tend to say, I don't care. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to find a quick way out. God says, don't do that. So that's the two problems God tells us He has when He's trying to chasten us. Number two, notice in verses 6-8, the promises of our Father's chastening. I love this. I love it personally. Because I'm a son of God. But I love it professionally because I get to preach about it. There are two things God tells us And he promises all of us who are saved today, he's going to chasten us because, number one, he loves us in verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, one thing that I tell my students constantly and God's people when I preach to them, in our King James Bible, when you see the E-T-H ending on a verb, look at that verse. For whom the Lord loveth. You see the E-T-H ending? Look at the word chasteneth. You see the E-T-H ending? Do you see the word scourgeth? E-T-H? Whenever you see an E-T-H at the end of a verb in our Bible, this is what is conveying. Continually happening. Continuous action. You with me? I don't want to get too teachy. You know, I'm a teacher by nature, all right? But if you were to go back and read this, hey, listen, God's people, he's saying that when he's chastening you, he loves you. In fact, whom the Lord is always chastening, it's because he's always loving us as his children. Amen? But then he says, and scourgeth, E-T-H ending, every son whom he receiveth. If God has to, because of his love, he will scourge. He doesn't do it often, but if he has to, because of his love, he will scourge. But I love that word receiveth. Every son whom he receiveth. The word receiveth means to embrace to oneself. I've lost track. Just like some of you. You had a loving parent, and your parents spanked you, used the paddle, the belt. When you were young and they were doing that, maybe you didn't understand, but if you're like me, you thank God for parents that loved you enough to discipline you with the paddle, scourge you. Amen? Can I get a testimony right now? Would you raise your hand if you're thankful for a mom and dad that spanked you? Yeah, amen. There's something universal about that. Well, then how come, brothers and sisters, we don't say, God, thank you for the times, even the times that you scourged me, because you just reminded me that when you had to go to the point of scourging, you pulled me very close to yourself. Just as God's love is eternal, just as God's love is infinite, always upon his children, so must his chastening. Just as his love saves us and predestines us and redeems, convicts, justifies, so must his love chasten us. Did you have a parent that said something like this? This spanking is going to hurt you or hurt me more than it hurt you. I do remember hearing that. Maybe it was the first time. And I remember thinking, that makes no sense to me at all. Then I grew up. Then I became a parent. Then I had to spank my children. I had two girls first. There's something about girls. My first daughter, very much like her dad, stubborn. My second daughter, I always thought, was the easy daughter, the sweetest daughter. And I would say I had her wrapped around my finger. Years ago, my wife said to me, Joel, you have it backwards. You, the whole time, Stephanie had you wrapped around her finger. Well, that may be true, and now that she's had my first and only grandchild, she's my special daughter right now. But, you know, God's love for us, it may seem painful at times when the scourging comes, but I'm here to testify in the name of the Lord and his word. It's especially when he draws you close. Why does God promise to chasten us? Number one, because he loves us. This next two verses, 7 and 8, because we're his sons or his children. He says in verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth, E-T-H ending, God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. All men are subject to God's punishment, but only God's children get his chastisement. Can I repeat that? All mankind receive and will receive God's punishment. But only God's children get his chastening. One preacher said, God doesn't spank the devil's kids. God doesn't spank. Now, do bad things happen to lost people? Yes. But it's not God or His will to ever chasten lost people or to spank or scourge God's people. That's a very special relationship He has with His children. Our part is often to endure that. This special kind of relationship is understood, especially in verse 8. If we, as God's children, do not receive child training, then God says, then you must be one of the lost. You must be, the word bastard referred to a child that had no father. I'm glad I know my father. I'm not talking about my earthly father. My dad has been gone since 01. But I've had a heavenly father since I was 8 years old. And if you're saved, you still have an earthly father. And he will love you all the way to heaven. But that love sometimes and will always include chastening, training. At one time or another, we have wanted to discipline someone else's children. In fact, here's where I like to give this illustration. You have Super Walmarts somewhere around here, right? Usually they're not far. Super Walmart is like the biggest thing in our town, you know. In fact, to tell you what it's like to live in Forest City, North Carolina, my wife and I moved there 27 years ago, and the paper listed the top 10 things to do in Forest City. Number 3, go to Walmart with your family. I mean, really, it's grown a little bit. Here's what I like to illustrate. You ever go into one of these Super Walmarts, and as soon as you go in and you get your buggy, which, by the way, I've been in the South long enough to call it a buggy. It was a cart before that, but you get your buggy, and almost as soon as you get that buggy and you start, what, you hear him. I call him Little Adolf. His screech and scream is so loud that it's like, oh, my word. And, you know, these stores, they're huge. And you go, ooh, where is that kid? And you start going down your, and you know, Walmart, you notice how they had me trained. The first 5 years, I could tell you where, anyone say, do you know where this is? I could tell them. And then they switch all the aisles. But you're going down the aisle to get the same thing you always get. And as you turn the corner, that little voice is getting louder and louder and screaming. And boy, you think, oh my word. And then you turn the corner, there he is. And there's his precious mom. She's 24, 25, and her hair's a mess, and there's a tiny newborn baby in a little bassinet in the cart, and he's in the cart, and he's screaming, and he's yelling, and he's trying to pull his mother's hair. I've seen it. Do they not have children like that in Georgia? All right. And as I'm going down the aisle, I'm thinking, because we didn't raise our children to act like that. And as I get, and you see him trying to, and his mom is almost in tears. She's embarrassed and she's trying to shout. And as I'm getting closer, this is my thought. Forgive me. I want to walk up to the mom. Take my driver's license. Say, ma'am, this is my driver's license and my credit card. I just want to borrow your son for 4 minutes. You give me your son for 4 minutes. I promise I'll bring him back. And when he comes back, he will be a new young man. Now, okay, I'm the only guy? Okay, just, you can blame me. And then I walk by. This actually happened one day. I'm going by, and a little boy is just as mean and nasty. And I slowed way down, and I gave him a look. And he did this. I mean, he looked right at me and stuck his tongue out, and I just kept going. I thought, nope, Lord, help me now. You know, I turned the corner, and I finished my shopping, and I went to the checkout, paid for my food. I took my buggy to my car, loaded it, and honestly, folks, within seconds, I'm pulling out. You know how long I thought about that little brat? It was over. It was over. I just forgot about it. Why did I forget about it? He's not mine. If you're saved today, God never forgets about us. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what state you're in. God's always going to love you. He's always going to chasten you. And if he has to get a little stronger and scourge you, that's when the Bible says he pulls you close to himself. And that's as if God would say, you know, son, you know, daughter, this does hurt me more than it hurts you, but I'm going to do it anyway because you're mine. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad to know he'll be your father all the way to glory? What a special relationship. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or diligently, often. Number one, the problems of our father's chastening. We either as his children despise it, or we faint. Number two, the promises of God's chastening. He does it because he loves us. And he does it because we're his. And number three, in closing, in verses 9 through 11, I see the products of our father's chastening. The products of our father's chastening. The first one's mentioned in verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? All of us, most all of us have had an earthly daddy. Now, no mom and dad are perfect on this earth. But we understand this principle. And the writer says, you had an earthly father, and he chastened you, he corrected you. Did you not understand you were to give him reverence? God basically says, where's my reverence? You see, the first product of being a child of God and responding to his chastening is we would learn to reverence or respect our Heavenly Father. There's a lot of disrespect. Would you agree, my brothers and sisters? There's a lot of disrespect sometimes shown in what's called Christianity today. You've watched some of the these massive mega churches and the music and the silliness, and they just had a large conference for the men two weeks ago, and it really, I just watched a little bit of it. It was kind of like a circus act. Even had a male stripper in a men's conference. You know, you guys, have you watched the condition sometimes of Christianity? You've probably had this thought like I have. Where's the reverence? Where's the respect for our Father in heaven? Or am I the only guy that sees that? Listen, the universal testimony of good kids, of well-behaved kids, is always they had parents that disciplined them. Children thrive in a home where there's boundaries. I had those boundaries that were hard sometimes for me, but thank God for parents that kept the boundaries. I grew up public school, California, Bay Area, lots of temptations. But I knew that I had boundaries. By the time I was a young man, I knew about my parents' boundaries growing up, but I had learned because I was in church and I had faithful Sunday school teachers and youth pastor and a mom and dad. I also learned God has boundaries. And if I'm going to be a good child of God, I need to show reverence to him. I need to show respect. But then notice the last word in verse 9. And live. You realize that as God's children, we respond to God's loving chastisement. We have life. Listen, not just life, but a good life. Jesus said when he was on the earth, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Over and above, extraordinary, greater, excessive. I'm telling you, being a Christian, it's the only way to go. Don't you guys? I know you do as young people, teenagers, young children here that are saved. But us older folks, don't you lay your head down at night and go, I don't know how the lost world can take this. I know you guys have thought that during COVID, when all of us are going, what? I might preach about that. God gave me a message during COVID, right from Paul, while he was in prison. Man, it got me so fired up. And listen, COVID was weird. I don't know how weird it was in Georgia. It was weird in North Carolina. And back home in California, I talked to my brother and mother. At least they couldn't shut the phones down. And the stuff they were telling me they were doing to people out of my home state, I couldn't believe it. In fact, it was so bad. The governor, and I'm on camera, so I don't like to use names that much. But the governor said to churches, after he first said they had to close, he said, all right, but you cannot have singing. Whether from the pulpit or in the... Yeah, and I thought, wow. During COVID, God was with us. Our Father was with us. I'm just saying, God expects His children to respond by respecting Him, showing reverence, but He also wants to promise us, look, if you'll let me chasten you, if you'll let me love you and train you, and when I have to whoop you, oh, I'll pull you close. But you need to learn. My way of teaching you is to give you a wonderful life. Many times, I'm staying at the Bachman Towers, and thank you, Edie and Dan, for just a wonderful time. Actually, it makes traveling up here worthwhile, and the time I get to spend with them in fellowship. But guys, I got to tell you, we talk a lot, don't we, about how wonderful it is to grow up in a Christian home, then to have Christian children and Christian grandchildren. Folks, listen, there's most of the world, a billions of people who don't have any of that joy, any of that life. You ought to be thankful. You young people that are still home, you may not appreciate it, but you should thank God when you pray for a mommy and a daddy that go to church with you and that love you and teach you, and you've got lots of folks that love you here. What a life. There's one more, verse 10. For they, speaking of our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us. In other words, you weren't, I mean, by the time you're 18, 20, 21, that's all they had. And then you're gone. You're on your own. After a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He, our Father in heaven, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Did you know it's God's will? And by the way, the word holy is not a fun word for contemporary Christianity. They don't like to talk about holy, or they've made it something weird. Do you know how we know the word holy? And do you know how we define holiness? We go to the Word of God. Because God says often, let me give you one example, 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God wants us, that third product, to be partakers of His holiness. In other words, guys, we're supposed to be like our Heavenly Father. The world needs to see more of our Father. The world needs to see more of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The world needs to see more of the Holy Ghost. And the only way they ever see God is through us. I didn't say the world likes what they see when they meet a Christian who's trying to learn the lessons of being holy like our Father. They don't understand it. And sometimes they don't like it and they'll say so. But folks, often what draws people to salvation is first your testimony and mine. They see we're different. They see we don't talk like they do, laugh at the things they laugh at work. Sometimes our lost family members spending time with us. They see the difference. Part of what they need to see is God's holiness. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Can I tell you something? As a child, I can say amen to that. Who liked getting chastened? Who liked getting spanking? And again, the word chastening doesn't mean spanking. It could have been when you... I remember when I hit my teenage years. I was rough on my mom. Oh, my word. Because I was just like her. Really. And mom would do what's called timeouts. You ever get timeouts? Now, some of you old-fashioned people said, no, my only time out was knockout. Okay, I understand. I remember my mom saying, go to your room, stay there. I thought, I'd rather have you take the belt and do a job on me, but don't make me sit. And then she'd say, sit down, I want to talk to you. I go, oh. Some of you are laughing because you were just like me. Do you know we do the same thing to our Heavenly Father? He doesn't always use a paddle. He doesn't always scourge. Sometimes He's trying to get our attention. Sometimes He says, sit down, I need to talk to you. How sad it is when we roll our eyes. My mom said, you roll your eyes one more time. We do it to our Father. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. In other words, when it's over, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In closing, if chastening were meant to be pleasant, it wouldn't produce any fruit. We go to great lengths, brethren, to endure medicine, surgeries, physical therapies, so many other treatments for our physical health. How much more should we be willing this morning to endure our Father's treatment of our spiritual needs and our spiritual health? If we compare our chastening with our sin, is it not a marvel that God's chastening is not heavier on us? Think about it. You know your wicked heart. I know my wicked heart. It sure seems this morning, if I've not said it, let me say it again. It sure seems kind of amazing. We deserve a lot heavier chastening. Our Father is such a perfect Father. But He'll chasten us because He loves us. I love this last phrase. I say I love it. Unto them which are exercised thereby. You know what the word exercise comes from? The Greek word gymnazo. And when I say gymnazo, or gymnazo, it's pronounced, what do you hear? What English word do you hear? Gymnasium. You know what God is saying? God, it's a word for gym or exercising. God will exercise chastisement as much as He needs to do. Why? Because He loves us. And God never gets tired of chastening us. I'm learning, I guess, what it's going to be like to chasten my granddaughter. Now, she's just a baby. I told Brother Dan, I may need to call him when she gets older to figure out as a grandfather, what are my boundaries here? You know, I notice grandparents. Now, listen, this is a side note. I don't speak as an expert grandparent, but I am older. Some of the godliest influences on young people's lives are their godly grandparents. Grandparents that raise their children godly, but then have to watch their children not always raise the grandchildren. But I'm telling you, I have seen young people get saved and start going to church because grandma, grandpa, their influence. Grandparents, if you have grandchildren that you pray about, you love and you're concerned, remember this. Grandchildren know every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, they know and Wednesday night where my grandma and my grandpa are. They're in church. That is a tremendous influence. But on the other hand, I've met grandparents that brag about spoiling their grandkids. Can I just say something? And I sort of understand that. Don't be that kind of grandparent. You don't want your godly kids saying, Mom, Dad, you told us not to do that. You listen, you still have so much influence. But I have told my son-in-law, my daughter, before Everly was born, and when I got to see her Thursday, I got a little teary-eyed. As I was holding her, I said to Jacob and my daughter, I said, you know, I really only have one super goal in my life as this baby's grandfather. I want my granddaughter to know Christ as Savior as early as she possibly can. I know that's the heartbeat. Because you know why? You're a loving grandparent. You're a loving parent. But our love combined couldn't come close to the love that our Father in heaven has for us. It's just sometimes we're not listening. And it's during the times that you and I think we're having the worst time of our life that God is closest. And he's saying, I'm going to get you through this, son, daughter. Would you like to know what I'm going to teach you if you'll listen? Don't despise me. Don't faint. By the way, let me read two more verses because I'm interpreting these two, but I don't think I'm too far away. Look at verses 12 and 13. After talking about chastening, after talking to us about maybe having to scourge us, it says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know what I read that as, Brother Swofford? I think it's God's way of saying, and don't pout. I was a pouter. When mom got done with spanking or timeouts or any kind of discipline, I pouted. You know what? I read those verses. I'm reminded by God, son, daughter, when I'm done and then we're done, I've taught you this lesson. I love you. Don't pout. Don't go to the corner and go, I just can't go on. My dad doesn't love me. You know, we tend to do that. But we shouldn't do it with our Father in heaven. Amen. The divine design of discipline. Today, I hope you're thankful for a Father in heaven who will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never stop training you, no matter how old we get in Christ, how many books of the Bible, how long you've been a Bible college professor. Oh, yeah, earned doctorate, blah, 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 blah. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And I pray that God would help me with this message. God, please don't stop loving me and chastening me. One day He'll be done because I'll be with Him in heaven. Do you know He's going to have perfect kids? All of us wished our kids were perfect. But they have a chance when they have a saved mom and dad. They have a chance when they have a saved grandma, grandpa. But mostly they have a wonderful chance if Christ will save them when they're young. I've been saved a long time. I haven't always understood this wonderful relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father. But boy, when I read that passage, I hone right in. Would you bow your heads with me?